I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
This is a Roundtable Rewind.
Marcus Smart. I mean, the dude played a tremendous game last night. I'd love to sit across the table from him and chat him up on how important he's been to the Boston Celtics in his return. The Celtics beat the Cavs again last night, and Brown said it earlier. You're starting to get a feeling the East is over, too?
Well, I'm not ready to declare. Look, the West is over because...
Yeah, there's a big difference in these two series.
Because in the West, Jim, I'm dealing with a team where I'm able to question their heart and their championship makeup. And in the East, outside of one player, that's true as well. But you still do have that one player. But here's the thing, Lance. How much more can he do? People are going to try to pin this on LeBron. This is going to be, oh, Michael never let this happen. Michael never let this happen. What more do you want LeBron to do?
I don't know if I got this exact, but I kind of threw out what his line would be yesterday. And I said it would be a triple-double. I don't think I had him in the 40s. I think it was more like 35, 12,
what was it, 42, 10, and 12?
42, 12, and 10.
42, 12, and 10.
He can't do much
more than
that.
What's he supposed to do?
And you saw what he did in the first quarter. All you've got to do if you're Cleveland is just have supporting guys step up, which they did in the first half. Kyle Korver was great in that second quarter. And that was really the difference. And when LeBron goes out with what people viewed as maybe a concussion for a minute, which was really scary, then Boston goes on that little run, and they cut it to a doable deficit at halftime. And then in the second half, there was zero energy from Cleveland. Yeah. I don't understand it. You're down 0-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals.
They do go home, so that's the best-case scenario for Cleveland, a chance to defend their home court and get this thing back to 2-2 with two back in the land. Do you think it was a concussion from LeBron? It's listed as a neck strain. It was a brutal hit. It was a basketball move. It wasn't a cheap shot.
No,
it wasn't
at all.
It wasn't like J.R. Smith pushing Al Horford late in the game.
That was a Bush League move.
That was a Bush League move, and I agree with Van Gundy. I mean, they won't do anything because it's the playoffs, but they should do something.
Well, it might be the best thing for Cleveland to suspend. That's the guy can't hit a shot.
You're right. He's a liability to him.
Waltz him in there.
He looked weird going to the locker room. I mean, when they're showing the shot up the tunnel of him going to the locker room, he wasn't straight. Like, if it's a neck issue, like, I've got neck issues, and if something happens, you're stretching it, and you're trying to, you know, trying to loosen it up.
Or if it hurts so bad, you're just sort of walking to that angle.
Yeah, he seemed dazed. And look, I mean, you can't evaluate concussions on TV from, you know, 10 states away. I get that.
But ironically, we do in football, though.
We do.
Up in the press box.
We do, but it looked weird, Jim. I mean, he wasn't himself for certain, and I don't know about you guys, but when he's going to the locker room like that, I'm thinking this is going to be a 40-point bloodbath. If he's not on the floor, what are they going to do?
I mean, this is exactly how it was supposed to be scripted. He comes out and he scores 21 of Cleveland's 27 of the first quarter.
They were scorching hot out of the gate, and you thought, oh, LeBron's taking this thing over.
Yeah, and can I just make a point that Boston is two wins away from being in the NBA Finals without Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward?
They're two best players. Now Jason Tatum would be in that group right now, but not at the start of the season.
No,
he wasn't.
I mean, it's a 20-year-old rookie who's getting better and better, but I mean, this is not a guy that can actually carry you to the NBA Finals. And it's a collective effort. You've got six different Celtics wearing double figures last night. They're 9-0 now in TD Garden in the postseason. I mean, again, I mean, this all goes back to Brad Stevens and the magic he's been able to work.
Well, he doesn't like it when you compliment him.
Too bad. He deserves it.
Yeah, he's the new Popovich.
It's so hokey
really
before the
is.
Game. I don't know if you guys saw the pregame. He's a likable guy, but just so folksy and hokey, and it works.
But know your roundtable statistics. How often has Boston lost a series when they're up 2-0 in a 7-game series?
No, they never have.
I'm not going to steal the thunder. Hit it.
37-0, my friend.
Yeah,
37-0. That's what Cleveland is fighting, is 37-0.
And what a difference a year makes. And if you would have said going into this season these two would match up again, you know, who's going to win the series? We all would have said Cleveland. Cleveland won this series in 2017 4-1. And now it's going the complete opposite direction. I still think Cleveland's got a shot. I thought they really had to have last night. So I would lean now Cleveland doesn't win this series, but they still have a shot.
Game 2 tonight, Golden State in Houston, 8 o'clock on TNT. You'll hear it here on the Jocks family of networks. We'll talk more about that game coming up a little bit later on. But if you're an Atlanta Braves fan, you lose a game last night. Ronald Acuna hits a home run in the 8th. He goes out there, puts them ahead. Then you blow the lead in the 9th. 3-2, Cubs win it. But if you watch that game, horrible call at the plate. And we've talked about this several times. In baseball, when they do go to replays, you can see obviously the call, like you could last night, that he beat the plate at the plate. He's safe, and they call him out. And on replay, it shows he's safe, and they rule him out.
I don't know how you get it wrong.
They continue to get it wrong on baseball replays. I don't know what they're
looking
at.
We've implemented replay to make sure we get calls right, and now with the implementation of replay, we're getting calls wrong, and we're just delaying the game. The one thing they don't want to do is lengthen games, but now you're lengthening games, and you're getting calls wrong.
Okay, let me ask you this, and this may be a longer discussion, I don't know, but we've had a longtime caller to this station, a guy named Richen Hoover, good dude, big Tennessee fan, for a guy that, you know, just has fun, right?
Been on hiatus for a couple of years.
He has been. I hope Rich is doing okay, honestly.
Yeah, 11 straight years.
Yep.
I mean, it'd be hard to live in this area it if you're be. Rich it would from be. Hoover.
He wants...
He's a good dude. He doesn't deserve the...
No, we've met him. Great guy.
Yeah.
He once said, and I'd never really thought of it in these terms, but when replay started, he's like, what I don't understand about replay, I'm cool with replay and I'm even cool with the way we do it. What I don't understand, though, why do we go into it assuming it was right and have to be convinced it was wrong? Why not go into it with an open mind? Like, all right, wash everything clean. Let's start from scratch and let's watch the play and see if we can tell what happened.
You know why? Because if we're going into replay, we think something's wrong anyway, or we wouldn't be doing replay. We should go in with a clean slate, like you said.
So you would say just complete clean slate.
Right. Because obviously somebody thinks it's wrong, Brown, or we wouldn't be going to replay.
But what everybody says is, well, I don't want to officiate using replay. We want, you know, the officiating.
They're trying to give the benefit of the doubt to the official that actually called the
game. Yeah, but don't you agree that's the way replay in all sports needs to work?
Be clean slate.
Yeah, let's go in with a clean slate and let's not assume anything down the way. Let's don't go in assuming we got it right or got it wrong. Let's look at it, and what does the feedback say? And if the feedback is inconclusive, you stick with the call on the field.
Yep. I agree 100% with Rich.
That was not inconclusive.
Yeah, it was not last night. Bad blow for the Braves. They lose that one 3-2. And I wonder how long until the Braves make a move to try to fix their bullpen. Do they do that at some point?
I mean, I don't know. Don't you feel like that was the one thing that plagued the Braves all those years? I mean, Smoltz was great, but...
Mark Wohlers was good.
Yeah, Wohlers was good.
Minute,
Leitenberg was good.
Rocker was fantastic.
You had a lot of dominant closers for a while for the Braves. Kimbrell, obviously.
Yeah. Now, are you asking me when they got got to the playoffs?
That's what I'm talking about.
When they got to the playoffs, I think they struggled in the 7-8 slot. You know how the Yankees always had it set up where if they got six innings, then 7-8-9 was set up perfectly? I think they did struggle at times in the postseason of getting six strong from Maddox and those guys, and then being able to go 7-8 and get it to the bullpen, to get it to the closer. So yeah, the setup guys maybe a little bit, but they had some really good closers.
They did, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it always seemed like it was their Achilles heel in the postseason.
It is. This
you know,
year.
They've only lost one game that they've led after five innings this year, though.
So it's not that bad.
I mean, that's a stat that surprises me.
Yeah, they're 7-3 in one-run games this year, and they've lost only one game they've led after five innings.
I think Braves fan would tell you they feel different than that stat indicates.
Probably.
That's a good stat.
But
there.
That's a legitimate stat.
But is that a stat more? I don't know the answer to this.
Because the offense is so good.
That's what I was about to say.
Leads.
It's more indicative of their bats than their bullpen. Because they ripped the cover off the ball. It's one of the best hitting teams in baseball.
Irregardless, and I don't know if you've seen what Cleveland's been doing. And look, they're still leading the Central right now by a game. But the Indians' bullpen, as dominant as it was from 15 to 17, has been awful. And they've blown, I think, 2 5-run leads in the last couple of games. Paul, so, you know, at least you're not in that situation.
Yeah. Paul upset about the call last night, said it should have been 3-1 Braves or one out and Freddie at the plate with more runners on base. Cost the Braves a couple of runs.
Dunaway, when was the first time you played in the Pro-Am out here?
Oh, my goodness.
Was it the 90s?
Oh, yeah. All my Pro-Ams were in the 90s, I think.
Back when Jim was on tour.
Yeah.
Your most awkward one, though.
Oh, I went through this yesterday. My best one was when it was Mike Shula, Mark Gottfried, and Don Shula, Tom Kite, and me.
Right.
That was the best one.
So it was
the winningest coach in NFL history gave me a fist bump after he drained a birdie putt.
Was that a highlight of your life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not even a Dolphins fan. Imagine if it had been you.
Oh, I know.
And then did
I
he ask
it.
For his driver?
He did ask me if I could get him some water. My worst one was Mike Price, yeah.
I mean, I don't assume everyone listening has heard the story, but, I mean, it's an amazing story.
I will get the country music artist who was playing with us wrong.
Wait, so you played with Mike Price?
Oh, you don't know the story.
No. Oh, so were you the one that hit him on the butt and said, hey, have a nice flight to Pensacola?
No. This was after the story broke.
Oh, yeah, because I remember we were broadcasting out here. We did a save campaign for him. We had Drew Bledsoe on the show.
Drew Bledsoe was calling into our radio shows trying to save Mike Price.
I don't know why we were trying to help.
I didn't care.
Well, because he seemed like he was going to be a fun guy. Yeah. Right?
We just wanted to have Drew Bledsoe on, I think.
Yeah, Thursday Pro-Am that year, before he got fired on Saturday, he's walking around out here. It was one of the early landmines. Because we're walking in the fairways. He would not go over where the crowd was or the media, so we'd stay in the middle of the fairway. And he was telling me, because he knew, I'm Jimmy Bama. He was like, stand close to me, so we'll talk all the way through this thing. And he was worried. He goes, do you think we'll get fired? And I was like, oh, there's no way they'll fire you.
Yeah. you're the head football coach in Alabama. You're
Booker's
untouchable.
Credit card.
Yeah. There's no way they'll fire
you. You're untouchable, man. Yeah. Head football coach in Alabama.
I think the country music guy playing with us was John Michael Montgomery. Is that a real guy?
Yeah, it's a real guy.
I think he did the
Butterfly Kisses song, if I'm not mistaken.
So how many coaches do you think survive Mike Price's situation now?
Well, one will be here today.
Well, yeah.
In the same capacity as Mike Price.
Yeah, but I'm talking about and Mike Price then was a pretty high-profile coach going from Washington State to Alabama. At least he was a guy that had a lot of success in Pullman. So a guy on his level now would be maybe a Mike Leach? Is that fair?
I mean, are you just going to go Washington State coach? I mean, well, Leach hasn't been to a Rose Bowl. Mike Price had been to two Rose Bowls, I think, when Alabama hired him.
He was coming off a Rose Bowl.
But wouldn't you say their credibility, their resume is about the same?
Yeah.
I would say...
Now, Price is more accomplished.
I think Price is more accomplished. I don't even know who to compare Price.
Two Rose Bowls.
I wouldn't think so, because Price had a lot of the three-win seasons. Leach never has those. I think if he went back and looked, it would be comparable. All anyway, right. With that said, if Leach pulled something like this, let's say that he took the he would have taken the Arizona job in the offseason.
Well, let's just run through the coaches we'll talk to today. Matt Luke
wouldn't survive it.
Nope.
Kirby Smart survives it.
Currently.
Gus Malzahn.
Well, right now. I mean, I don't know what that buyout looks like if he gets caught in something like that.
Yeah, if he lays up an 8-win season, 7-win season this year.
And you can get out of the contract, he's done.
Yeah, they'd be cheering for that probably.
Oh, yeah, Lance is not going to like this. I don't know if Paul's just trying to bait Dunaway into screwing this up, but he says Price is Mark D'Antonio. Mark D'Antonio is a better coach than Price.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was trying to bait Dunaway into screwing up Mark D'Antonio and Mike D'Antoni.
I'm not sure Mike D'Antoni survives it either.
No, they're probably ready to fire him if they lose this series. But the best part of the story is you guys are coming up 18, and the media all comes out now for Nick Saban, but that was kind of uncommon that the guys that covered Alabama would come out to interview the coach, I think, and everybody, including some national people, had flown in to cover this story, and they're all waiting for Price at 18. And doesn't, like, Larry White, who at the time was the media relations director that was responsible for football, he basically comes out and tells Coach Price, you got to talk to the media, right?
Got to.
And Price is like, I am not talking to the media.
And Larry said, you got to.
And basically, the university had, the powers that be at the university had said, he's facing the media on this. He cannot be quiet on this.
And Saturday, I don't think they had announced yet they were going to have the Board of Trustees meeting on Saturday to axe him out.
So the best part of the story, right, is they're standing there arguing in the 18th fairway, the media relations guy, Mike Price, and doesn't Tom Kite be like, hey, guys, are we going to play golf or not?
Somebody's got to hit a ball here. Somebody other than our 28 handicapped sportscaster.
So you're
telling
me Mike Price's head was not in the game at that point?
Oh, no. No, he was not.
How'd he play?
He wasn't very good. I think he was in the pocket a lot. You can pick up in this pro-am occasionally.
He was hiding in the woods most of the day, Jim.
Yeah, not his first time. 25
and
after.
It was a week after he was fired, right?
That Saturday. Yeah,
this was his last public appearance.
Yeah, Thursday.
He's an Alabama coach.
Off day Friday for him. Saturday, boom, done.
off lifetime for him, Saturday. Yeah.
I will tell you, B. Stone says Hugh Freeze walked middle of the fairway, head down his whole round last year as well. And see, they're saying Hugh Freeze was here last year.
So maybe it was last year.
It was last year. Yeah.
Wow. Oh. That settles it.
Well, yeah. I pulled up the old book.
Oh, so officially we were here last year?
We had Avery Johnson on the show.
But see, that's how
I remember that now.
That's how hard the mornings have been on us, is that seems like 2 years ago now.
At least.
56% voted we were here last year, 44% voted no.
If Boston gets to the NBA Finals, will this be the, I don't want to say the most least, or the least talented team to ever get to the NBA
Finals?
Feels
like it.
But I'm talking about the furthest we've had from having a superstar.
Okay, well, the one everybody always picks is that Detroit team.
Yeah, but you still had a ton of great,
Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace.
I mean, Rasheed Wallace, I mean, you had a collection of really, really good players, better than any guy on this team.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Tatum's better than some of them.
Jason
Tatum's 20. Well, I know, but he's a better player than – I mean, he will be.
He will be, yeah. He will be, but not right now.
Yeah, let me put it that way.
Just because lose your two best –
Thanks, Scoops.
Yeah. Just because you lose your two best players, it's going to look like it's an unbelievable coaching job, and it will be one of the weaker teams you've seen in the NBA Finals if they were to win it. But I think we've had lesser teams – make it to the finals.
I don't know, Dunaway. Look, this is a great team as far as playing together collectively. And again, six turnovers. I mean, that's amazing. They're 9-0 at home this postseason. So they do everything right, but it's just not great players. Al Horford's a good player. Jaylen Brown's a good player. I think Jason Tatum's going to be a great player, but right now he's a very good player.
By the way the ping pong balls went last night in the NBA lottery with Phoenix getting the first pick. The Cavaliers have the eighth pick from Brooklyn. And that's where a couple of mock drafts this morning have Alabama's Colin Sexton going, is to the Cavaliers. If he were to go to the Cavaliers, what will be left in Cleveland without LeBron?
Nothing. That'd be a terrible time to go to Cleveland.
The Browns and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Indians, and that's about it, right?
Are they? Is LeBron, and forgive me for having to ask this, is it free agency or are they going to have to trade him?
No, he's free agent.
Option
out. Yeah.
Nothing. And I mean, you could trade him for a kingdom. Yeah,
no, the feeling is LeBron is gone, too, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the feeling. It's just, where's the destination? I mean, right now your favorite's Houston.
They were openly talking about it on the telecast, Jackson and Van Gundy. Like, look, I know this could be the end of the era, but you got to play this thing out. I mean, that's what they were saying at the end of the game. So it's almost like Van Gundy and Jackson know it.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody knows the time is up. And I guess for LeBron, it is just about chasing rings now.
And you can't get mad at LeBron if you're Cleveland fans.
He did what he had to do.
Yeah. He came back and he won you a championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got nothing around him.
First down.
Better chance of happening. Boston wins the championship next month, or Missouri plays in Atlanta the first weekend of December.
Ooh. I'm going to say Missouri plays in Atlanta first weekend in December.
Now, I think I'd still go Boston over this one. I mean, now Missouri gets Georgia at home, I think. I don't have the schedule in front of me. It's in Columbia. So, I mean, that's the team you got to beat there. If you happen to win that game, you can afford another loss somewhere. Georgia still has to play Auburn.
South Carolina popped Missouri last year.
They did. I don't know, man. I think I'd say Boston has a better chance of hoisting Larry O'Brien.
Probably the right answer, but.
As we always say, the correct answer is neither.
Yeah. Correct answer is neither, but I
would go Boston, too.
If you beat Missouri, I mean, if you beat Georgia as Missouri, Alabama's interesting with Missouri. South Carolina, Georgia has to play Auburn, too, in the regular season. You can see where maybe they, if you beat them and they drop two, that maybe you only lose one in conference. You can see that. But probably Boston's the answer, yeah.
Second down.
Better chance of repeating. Dodgers winning the NL West or UCF going undefeated?
I mean, your Dodgers are a mess right now.
Justin Turner returned yesterday, though, so they're starting to get whole.
And they lost to the Marlins.
I mean, that's why I say MS. You lost to maybe the worst team in baseball.
Starting to get whole. You got to get Clayton Kershaw healthy. You got to get Jansen.
Ryu's got to get healthy. I mean, Dodgers, if they got everyone healthy, with the way the Diamondbacks are trending, going in the wrong direction, Diamondbacks have lost five straight.
The Nationals swept them. I mean, that's a good team sweeping them, though. I mean, do you think the Diamondbacks have staying power?
I don't know.
A lot of good bats in that lineup. I watched a good bit of them in the National Series. They got some guys that worry you a little bit.
I could see UCF repeating again. Who's their toughest game on their schedule? Is it Florida Atlantic, maybe? It's a tough conference they're in, though.
Yeah, they do play Florida Atlantic. I would say better chance your Dodgers win the
I think so. A.J. Pollock banged up right now for the Diamondbacks, not in that lineup. So I would say Dodgers. Again, probably neither, but I would lean Dodgers.
I'll take Dodgers, too.
Third down.
Who lasts longer, LeBron in Cleveland or Ed Orgeron in Baton Rouge?
Ed Orgeron in Baton Rouge. I think, you know, Ed won't coach another game before LeBron's gone at Cleveland, in my opinion. You?
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, LeBron, it'll happen quickly, right?
Well, so I saw the odds. So Houston's your favorite for the landing spot. Then it goes Philadelphia and L.A. next. And then Cleveland is your fourth favorite to stay.
So Houston is now the favorite.
That is the favorite in Vegas.
But that puts him with Harden, and who else would Houston have around? I mean, would they keep Chris Paul?
Oh, yeah, Chris Paul?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And
so
Clint Capella. I mean,
that's a pretty good team, right?
They would be better than Golden
State.
That'd
be fun to see them in Golden State.
So you say they'd be better than Golden State?
I mean, you think about going into this series. I mean, Vegas had basically Golden State 2-1 to win that series, but a lot of people believed Houston had a fighting shot. They beat them 2 out of 3 in the regular season. You add LeBron.
So I mean, not to pile on.
It would be almost like when Golden State added Kevin Durant.
Not to pile on, but yesterday you said Golden State's better than Jordan's Bulls.
Right.
So that would mean there would be two teams in the NBA better than Jordan's Bulls.
Yes.
Okay.
You know they don't have to play Jordan's Bulls.
They don't. I texted Charles Barkley after the show yesterday.
Look, I don't even. I have no idea what his answer was.
Yeah,
but everyone is going to go with guys they played against.
Yeah, I mean, you know what his answer is.
His answer was, quote, hell no, end quote.
Of course.
Fourth down.
Bigger number, total of games in the conference finals combined. So these two series, how many games they go combined.
All right, I got you.
Or Jalen Hurts' total touchdowns in 2018.
Ooh, that is a good one because I will go 11 on the conference finals. I think we'll get a 5 and a 6.
Which one's going 6 now?
Cleveland.
I still think Cleveland's got something back home. I think you get 5 in the West, 6 in the East with the Boston winning. That's a good question, Lance, because I don't think Hurts gets 11 total touchdowns for Alabama this year. I'll say
playing somewhere else.
Oh, okay. So it's not just at Alabama. It'd have to be 1AA at this point. I don't think he can't transfer play. He has not graduated until December, I don't think.
I'll still take Hurts' total touchdowns. I mean, what did Tua end up with total touchdowns last year just in a limited role?
Maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, I'd say it was, I don't know.
Seemed like he had 6 or 7 on CBS in the Vandy game.
Who didn't?
No offense. That's right, when Derek Mason walks around the corner here, he's playing here today.
Oh, he remembers. You wouldn't be reminding him of it. I think I'll go more games. I'm going to say Hurts doesn't play this year. I'll go more games in the finals.
Like, doesn't play at all.
Yeah. I mean, I still think, to me, if I were setting odds, him transferring before the season would be my favorite right now. Not you?
Yeah, I lean that way. So I probably would go total games in the conference finals.
Yeah, I'll take Jalen Hurts more touchdowns. A lot of Alabama fans talking about Georgia and Alabama being split on the Auburn schedule. Jordan's saying, are we forgetting that on even years, Alabama has to travel to both Knoxville and Baton Rouge? All due respect to those two places right now. Not the same as having to play Georgia and Alabama.
And I think the big thing, too, is it's not necessarily back-to-back. Alabama takes a bye week before LSU. I guess technically it can be back-to-back games. So maybe that is true.
So tell me this. I haven't looked at it, but does Michigan or Michigan State have to play at the other end in Columbus?
It's a good question. I don't know.
So I just wonder in that Big Ten East if you would get some of those double-ups.
You know, we always talk about Auburn having to go to Georgia back-to-back years to make this happen, or Georgia having to come to Auburn to make this happen. And we forget there are a lot of other teams in the conference that did it. You know, I think Alabama played Ole Miss on the road twice. Am I right about that? There were several others that did it. My point is,
maybe
the lasting results seem to stand out more for Auburn because it's their two biggest rivals and they are back-to-back conference games. And it was just, you know, it was just not done that way traditionally. And even with Tennessee and LSU, those aren't Alabama's two biggest rivals. I would imagine it would be talked about more if Alabama played Tennessee, Coastal Carolina and Auburn, and Tennessee and Auburn are on the road every year and at home every year, it would become a big deal, yes.
And the fact that, you know, it's the two teams that played for the national championship, and many people expect them. I saw another projection last night when the bowl rankings came out, the bowl projections from College Football News, our friend Pete Futak, they have both Alabama and Georgia back into the college football playoffs again this upcoming year, and we talk about it all the time. The chances of that happen is pretty rare, right? To duplicate that again?
Yeah, I mean, I just almost undoable.
Undoable.
You feel it's almost undoable. Yeah. We say that the playoff is, what, 4 years old, so we don't really have a track record to go by, but it feels like we do.
Yeah, both teams' schedule, not that tough, Georgia and Alabama, and if they go unbeaten, both of them, and play each other in the SEC championship game, boy, it would still take a lot of
it would take a bad Big 12 or a bad Pac 12. I mean, it's going to take some work.
And that's possible. That's possible. Kick time announced for Alabama Louisville in Orlando.
Ooh, I've got a guess on this.
Okay.
Was that a crafty tease before I do a sponsor?
Sure, go ahead.
Got a lot of stuff? Want cash instead? Trade your items of value for cash at Quick Pawn. They pay you top dollar or borrow up to $10,000. Visit a Quick Pawn near you today. Loans subject to approval.
Can I just tell you, I think it's a mistake? Go ahead and guess.
Well, Auburn, Washington, I think has to be prime time, Lance. And I don't know if they're going to prime time that on ABC or ESPN. I'm guessing they will prime time Auburn, Washington on ABC, and they're going to do Alabama opposite that against Louisville. So I think you're going to have Alabama on ESPN primetime and Auburn on ABC primetime.
Why would you put Alabama and Auburn if you had both rights to both on at the same time opposite of each other?
They've done that before, not necessarily with Alabama and Auburn, okay, but put so two big games on at the
Alabama
same time.
Alabama and Michigan that year was on what? It was ABC, wasn't
ABC,
it?
Yeah.
And then Auburn and Clemson was on ESPN, was it not?
I think so.
Yeah, so I mean, you
they've
two,
done it before.
Two properties didn't make any sense.
And I think LSU was playing opposite Alabama in a big game recently.
This really surprised me. Okay, by go. The way. 7 o'clock Central primetime kick on ABC for Alabama, a 31.5-point favorite against Louisville, and they're going primetime with Fowler and Herbstreit and the guys.
Wow. Oh, does it already say Fowler and Herbstreit are doing
well,
it?
Well, no, but it's the ABC game, primetime.
If you would have told me a year ago that was going to be the setup, I would have believed it because I would have thought maybe Lamar Jackson's back and Louisville's trending in the wrong trending in the right direction.
It is the same slot they played Florida State in Atlanta. ESPN has not announced the crew yet who will call the game, but Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit called the Saturday night games on ABC last season. Rarely do they not do the ABC game.
They did, but assuming ESPN has Auburn and Washington, and it's not a CBS game that I'm unaware of, but I think that's a made for – I think ESPN puts those games together. So I think ESPN's got the rights to that one. I would assume game day is at that game. Wouldn't you think week one?
There's no bigger game in America than Auburn and Washington.
But I wonder if – well, I mean, game day will realize that.
I don't know where else you go.
Michigan-Notre Dame is the opening weekend too.
That's in South Bend, so it's on NBC, right?
Is it in South Bend?
I'm pretty sure it is. I don't know. I would imagine game day is going to be at Auburn and Washington. So that's where Herbstreit will start his day. He may finish it with Alabama and Louisville. I don't know.
Auburn-Washington is the biggest game in the country that weekend. I'm surprised it's not primetime on ABC, but Alabama-Louisville will be 7 o'clock and ABC down in Orlando. Okay, we want to talk a little bit about Westworld right here in our 9 o'clock hour. George Schroeder, more football coming up in a second. Westworld is a book, first off, right? Or was it a movie? Was it an old movie?
No, it was a movie. It was a book first. Michael Crichton did the book that turned into a movie back in the 70s with Yul Brynner.
And then it has become an HBO show now, and it's in season two, and it's going all over the place now. Rockstar thinks it should have ended after season one. I've liked this past season. But I'm a little all over the place anyway. But LT was asking a hypothetical before the sun came up out here at Greystone about Westworld and laid out there for me. And we'll take some responses after we talk to George from our listeners. But so, explain to people, for those, if you haven't seen the show,
yeah,
explain
the show.
The
premise of Westworld is, multimillionaires / billionaires getting to go to a location where they can live out all of their fantasies.
So it's like a fantasy camp, a real-life fantasy camp for millionaires. They travel in time?
And Westworld is kind of deep and dark. No, it's just a remote location that is set up. It's basically a fantasy park.
And they try to set it up just like it was back in the day.
So they have the Wild West.
Right.
They've got this, I don't know, Rockstar, how would you describe this samurai? Yeah, there's a safari, an African safari. And then the third world is like an old Asian samurai.
Yeah. So these guys have all the money they could spend, and that's why they're able to do this. So you wouldn't. Well, go ahead with your question.
But the machines are they?
Whoa, time out now. We got machines in this thing.
Yeah,
they're host.
They're host, but they're not human.
They're AIs.
Are they trying to kill the money people?
Well, that's the way it turns at the end of season one.
Oh, spoiler alert!
Yeah, but for a while they're there just a pleasure and play out the fantasies.
Yeah, and they're programmed, and they've got they've got a script that they go by,
and they look totally human.
But we don't know if we can trust them.
And they're able to interact with you, and then they remember backstories and all of that, and that's how they learn to turn against
us. Rockstar, you understand how crazy this show sounds from the outside looking in, right?
Yeah, well, you watch the final episode
I'm gonna
of
love
this
it.
Season, you're going to be a little confused. I think it's good. It was a good show for one season. I don't think they planned to have. It's like Lost, but Lost was so good for two or three seasons, and they just didn't have no. We got to end it somehow. We just
so it's True Detectives. It got off to a great start, and they never could recover. Okay.
Well, I want to see if they're able to. I want to see how they navigate it this year. Again, I don't think they know what they're doing episode to episode. Yeah, it has been intriguing for me though.
Every week this year, it seems like we're just moving to a different part of the park, a new genre.
But it's an interesting thing to ask. If you had all the money in the world and you had an opportunity to go to a time or place and be whatever you wanted to be, the total escape, and you can live out your ultimate fantasy, how would you do it? I mean, Brown, you could actually be on the PGA Tour.
You've said it. I don't even have to answer now. I would be a PGA Tour golfer. That's what I'd do, 100%. I mean, I don't even have to think twice about it. Like, if I had all the money I wanted and you could say, so you get to do whatever you want to do.
But you play golf already.
All the time.
You play golf at a...
I'm playing today. I'm leaving as soon as we're finished here.
But you play at a pretty comfortable level. I mean, you're nowhere close to the tour.
Oh, heavens no. But far from it.
You play an entertaining round of golf. There's nothing else that would intrigue you enough to where you wouldn't want to be a cowboy.
Oh, heavens no.
Most people want to do
a cowboy. You wouldn't want to be a used car salesman?
Dunaway wants to put those chaps on.
No, I'm just saying
they sleep out in the desert.
No,
and
it's a little different in Westworld, though.
What?
No, I'm just saying.
What, they got cowgirls?
They got saloons full of them. Yeah. I wouldn't call them cowgirls.
But, yeah, they do.
So it's nothing like the Wild West was.
They're the friendly type. I think it's more of a modernized. Yeah.
They've had showers?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it would be fun to do the Westworld.
Where would you go?
I think I would do something in the music industry. I think I would be like, a rock star for a little bit.
See, I think I would be too. I'd love to be able to sing, play guitar like Rockstar does. And, I mean, obviously this won't be his answer because he's able to do it. But to be up on stage and be able to sing in front of a stadium full of people, that would be fantastic for me.
To have everyone focused on you and your music really living through them. And then, I mean, I would like the debaucherous side, too, to be honest with you.
Well, that's part of the show, yeah.
But, I mean, is that yours, Rockstar? Would you want to be Eddie Vedder's career, basically?
No, I don't want to. No. I don't know what.
I'm just asking.
No, I'm trying to think about if there's something that I had all the money in the world. I don't know. I'm not fun. I don't know if probably Bryant Denny.
Oh, Rockstar, be honest. Yeah, there's nothing that comes to your mind.
No, nothing like if I had all the money in the world, what's a world I'd want to go to? I mean,
what's the one fantasy you'd want to live out?
No, I really, in all honesty.
Okay.
I mean, I
can't believe that, Rockstar.
It starts as a Western, obviously, the first season.
Hence the name Westworld.
Wild West.
The original Michael Crichton Westworld, they had the three worlds were... They did Ancient Rome, which would have been a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
So they did that. They did the medieval times, so you could be a knight.
The restaurant.
You could live that out. Or they had the Westworld.
You would have liked the Roman time, Brown. You eat all you want, and then you go into the vomit room afterwards and then come back out and eat some more.
What? They would gag themselves.
That's what they used to do, right, Rockstar?
It's a vomitorium, yeah.
Whoa, so they would just gorge themselves of food.
Yeah.
They indulged in everything.
And the bathrooms were just just sat on this little ledge with everybody else and just sat on a ledge with somebody and go in a little creek.
Is this where you guys want to live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they cleaned it up a little bit in Westworld, or they would.
Yeah.
All the men took baths together. It was really cool.
Whoa. Game changer.
Can you see us sitting on the ledge waiting to vomit up the buffet we just had, talking about LeBron last night?
I hate to yak,
not sure the Cavaliers put a lot into it.
But
last
do you think the majority of listeners would rather be like starting quarterback for Alabama or Auburn? Or do you think they would rather live out this rock star fantasy or the fantasy of being a movie star? You know, the closer for the Dodgers would be fun.
But let's get back to the Westworld discussion, if you will.
The most important thing we've done today.
I'm not sure it's that. But it has been one that has brought some interest up from our listeners of where they would go. Some interesting perspective here. Seth said he would go back to the 80s era of NASCAR. He said great mustaches and even greater blue jeans.
Well, you could have fun as a NASCAR driver in the 80s, right? Because you were kind of anonymous. You could go to bars and get away with whatever you wanted to get away with. But, you know, on Sundays, you probably had a pretty good time, you know, rolling around the track.
Yeah. E. Robinson writes in. He's a former Bama player. He said, I'd go back to the African dynasty times, not to be a king or anything, just to be the guy who says, no thanks to the boat ride. And he says, #it's okay to laugh now.
That's a reference to slavery, yeah, but as he says, it's okay to laugh at this. Right. Yeah, I'll pass. Thank you.
Yeah, but you go back and change history at that point,
yeah,
right?
You could.
I didn't really think they had a choice. Yeah. You want to come on the boat? Yeah!
Gator Smoke says, I would be a king and have my own kingdom. Just put me anywhere in time, king and a kingman.
Zamunda.
Golf and Moose says, I'd like to be drinking in the Great Gatsby setting.
That'd be fun.
Gee, I like that movie back in the day.
That was the Roaring Twenties, right?
Yeah, it's been remade, but there was was it Redford back in the day?
Yeah, Redford was Gatsby.
Yeah.
And then Bruce Dern was in it,
yep.
Mia Farrow.
Yep, I like that movie.
A young Patsy Kinsey.
I like the book.
Lethal Weapon 2, she was the kid in that.
So that's some of the input that we've gotten in at Jock's Roundtable. You can keep those rolling in after the show. Maybe we'll get some more on our fun Thursday show coming up tomorrow.
Here's what I've learned about you two, though. And maybe this show as a whole, you guys embrace a cleaner version of the past. So you would like to go not back to the real Wild West or the real Roman Empire, but just the Wild West or Roman Empire that you would have liked.
Yeah.
You would like to clean it
up.
Yeah, you don't want authentic. No. You don't want no air conditioner or cable.
No.
Even know if I want authentic 70s rock star lifestyle. I need Mach 3s.
You want it to be your cleaned up version.
Right.
Is what you want. Like the Wild, like Dunaway, you said you want to be a cowboy. Cowboy was a miserable life.
I want my groupie to wash her hair and to wax her brows.
There was nothing entertaining about being a cowboy. You spent time in the desert by yourself. You rustled cattle. You never showered. You ate dirt.
Well, they're drinking high-end bourbon, and they are...
Yeah, that ain't a cowboy. That's
they're sleeping with 9.5 prostitutes.
That's right. That's a cleaned-up version of a cowboy. That's not you.
The best food.
Yeah.
Can the Rockets get back into the series tonight? If so, what does James Harden have to do? What does Chris Paul have to do?
Well, Harden doesn't need to do anything more than he did in game one. Chris Paul probably needs to shoot it just a little bit better. Look, this is a team outside of Harden behind the arc, and they lived off the three this year. Harden was 5 of 9. The rest of the team was 8 of 28. You got to clean that up. The 18 turnovers, that's not going to happen. And this is going to come down to me, Brown, hustle board. It's going to come down to blocks, steals, and rebounds. How bad does Houston want this? They've been playing all this year to get to this point and ultimately take over Golden State. If you really want it tonight, you got to have it, because if you go down 0-2, this thing is going to be over in a clean sweep.
See, here's the deal. Cleveland could have erased game one with a win last night, right?
That's right. Everyone expected.
Yeah, I mean, we expected LeBron to do what LeBron did, but somebody else, Kevin Love, somebody else to help him, and he never got that help. Houston, this is absolute a must-win for them. If they go back to Oakland down 2-0, I don't know what.
They may not get back to Houston.
They may not. I mean, that might be the last home game. I don't think they would either.
I think they need to control this game and really build confidence that we can go to Oracle and steal one and get back home court.
This is a must-win. I mean, we use the word must-win in sports a lot. This is absolute 100% must-win for Houston.
On Glover's wife and his relationship, one of our friends writes in, it's one thing if the wife berates me after a bad day at work. It's another thing entirely if she's so drunk that she's trying to kick my mom's butt.
That was a different element in the story, yes.
Well, I bet his mom does not like her.
Oh, you think...
Well, she's probably already thinking that she's probably chasing. She's a gold digger to begin with.
Yeah, I did confirm roughly $20 million tour earnings. I would guess off course Lucas has made about that. I'd guess $40 to $50 million career earnings.
I'm going to assume this is not a high school sweetheart they met on the course.
I don't think they dated their whole life, Lance. Yeah.
Could be, if I remember correctly, could be wife, too.
I do believe it is, yes.
Yeah. All right. That's the end of the show here from day one here at Greystone. It's been a fun Pro-Am day. Kirby Smart and Matt Luke and Gus Malzahn. You can hear our interviews at jocksfm.com. The big news item of the day, Alabama's kick time with Louisville announced. They'll go at 7 o'clock on ABC, primetime game for the Crimson Tide in Orlando. And as a lot of you said, don't be surprised by 7 o'clock, Jim. 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Orlando in early September is not a fun time to play football.
Oh, brick oven.
7 o'clock will still be hot.
I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.